London, 1895. A city of fog and secrets, where women of society lived in beautiful prisons disguised as mansions. Behind silk wallpaper and beneath crystal chandeliers, they suffocated under the weight of propriety. Their reading materials were carefully monitored, certain female authors forbidden, certain ideas deemed dangerous. To read the wrong novel could brand you as hysterical, rebellious, or worse, mad enough for the asylum. In this atmosphere of intellectual suppression, an invitation arrived sealed with Queen Anne's lace in green wax. Lady Duxbury, a young widow who had outlived three husbands by age 32, was hosting a tea gathering. But this was no ordinary social call. It was the beginning of a revolution, fought not with guns or bombs, but with books and friendship. A revolution that would transform the lives of Eleanor Clark, Rose Wharton, and Lady Lavinia Cavendish forever. Eleanor's marriage to Cecil exemplified Victorian unions as business transactions, her noble lineage exchanged for financial rescue. Her maternal contact was limited to 1 hour every other day with her son William, the nearby nursery remaining frustratingly off limits. Rose Wharton, an American heiress whose wealth saved the ancient Wharton name, faced constant criticism for being too bold, too loud, too eager to speak my mind. At gatherings, she was seated away from important guests, her colonial manners deemed unsuitable. Even her laugh, described by one dowager as positively maritime, caused scandal. Lady Lavinia lived under her grandmother's madness shadow, her every move scrutinized. Her grandmother's story of pursuing art before institutionalization served as a perpetual warning. Clothing became their subtle rebellion. Eleanor wore calming blue for her volatile husband, while secretly keeping yellow handkerchiefs symbolizing hope. Lavinia's dresses featured belladonna flowers, a poisonous beauty reminding her to remain silent. Rose's American-made gowns with shorter hemlines marked her as an outsider. The Secret Book Society transcended mere literary discussions. In Lady Duxbury's library, hidden behind false walls, the women discovered works by Jane Austen, the Bronte sisters, and Elizabeth Barrett Browning, authors who wrote about women with minds and desires of their own. "Why do you think your reading materials are restricted?" Lady Duxbury asked. The answer was revealing. Books by women about defiant women threatened male authority. Rose noted, "I understand now why men fear women reading. It reminds them we have choices beyond their expectations." The society offered something equally valuable, genuine friendship. Rose found acceptance rather than judgment of her American ways. Lavinia discovered her poetic talents were gifts, not madness. Eleanor found allies who recognized the signs of abuse she concealed. Lady Duxbury's servants, former factory workers and an underground boxer as butler, demonstrated her commitment to helping society's outcasts. Her home became a sanctuary where women could speak freely without fear. The society expanded beyond literature when Lady Duxbury hosted a gardening expedition at Rosewood Cottage. There they met Smith, an American suffragette wearing men's trousers and carrying hatpins. "I'll teach you to defend yourselves with an item you always have on hand," Smith demonstrated by jabbing a hatpin through a pillow. "A well-placed hatpin looks like an accident. No policeman will ever believe otherwise." Eleanor, typically hesitant, showed surprising skill, explaining simply, "I imagine needing to save my son." The hatpin became both weapon and symbol, a feminine accessory transformed into protection. Behind the cottage, Lady Duxbury maintained her medicinal garden of deadly plants, belladonna, purple foxglove, hemlock, and deep blue monk's hood. "These are women's weapons," Lady Duxbury explained. "They heal in small doses, but kill in large ones. My grandmother's grandmother knew these secrets, as did hers before her." This knowledge represented generations of feminine wisdom. Healing arts transformed by necessity into weapons when other protections were denied. The most terrifying threat facing these women was commitment to a lunatic asylum, a fate worse than death in Victorian society. When Lavinia's father discovered her poetry, he considered it evidence of hysteria. Rose's brother-in-law, Byron, revealed that inquiries have already been quietly made about committing her, promising that, with her father's money, he could ensure no one would ever find her. This threat became reality when Dr. Gimble betrayed Eleanor, signing commitment papers citing extreme despondency. Her 5 days at Leavenhall exposed brutal treatment, stripped, mocked, punished with freezing water, and drugged with perlite that left her incoherent. The asylum functioned as Victorian society's ultimate control mechanism for non-conforming women. Any emotional excess could be labeled hysteria, a diagnosis applied almost exclusively to women, encompassing intellectual pursuits, sexual desire, and religious fervor. Mr. Wright, Lavinia's suitor, revealed women were routinely committed for reading too much, refusing marriage proposals, or inheriting property coveted by male relatives. The asylum served as both prison and symbol of society's methods for controlling female independence. The Secret Book Society members consistently rescued one another. When Lavinia had a panic attack, Eleanor guided her to safety. Rose defended Lavinia against mockery, while Lady Duxbury provided literature proving Lavinia's poetry wasn't madness. Eleanor secured Rose's invitation to an exclusive soiree through blackmail, while Rose gave Eleanor her distinctive boots, later crucial evidence when Eleanor was institutionalized. Their most dramatic rescue came when they freed Eleanor from Leavenhall Lunatic Asylum after just 5 days. Lady Duxbury confronted the doctor while her butler carried Eleanor to safety, vowing to nurse Eleanor back to health and then make Cecil Clark pay. Each woman transformed through their shared literature. Lavinia evolved from Silent's daughter to accomplished poet, publishing Asylum Walls, a critique that sparked discourse on women's mental health treatment. Rose navigated her dual American-English identity, eventually transforming her marriage into an equal partnership. Eleanor's journey was most profound. From abused wife to survivor who, after Cecil's death from poisoned dates, established a shelter for abused women, converting personal tragedy into social purpose. Have you ever wondered why certain books make people uncomfortable? Throughout history, those in power have prioritized controlling what people read. The Secret Book Society reminds us that reading isn't passive, it's potentially revolutionary. Their shared books functioned as both mirrors and windows, reflecting struggles while opening vistas of possibility. Jane Eyre's declaration, "I am no bird and no net ensnares me," became their unofficial motto. Through literary heroines, they found courage to revise both texts and their own life stories. The novel concludes with Lady Duxbury starting a new diary, noting how a blank page represents different possibilities for different women. When Lady Pempton seeks admission after initially declining, Lady Duxbury welcomes her, continuing their mission. In an era of book bans and censorship debates, this historical fiction resonates powerfully. Books have power because stories change us. They help us imagine possibilities beyond our circumstances and connect us across time and space.